Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I gotta tell you, I'm pretty excited for Advent. I know it doesn't start for two more weeks, but I think this is the earliest I've been completely ready in the last maybe 5 or 10 years for Advent. As for all of us, we've got devotionals that you can pick up later. We've got candles for our Advent wreaths. The worship services are planned both Sunday morning and Wednesday evenings. The Wednesday evening meals are planned. I think we are ready to begin Advent. And I hope and pray that for all of us, that it's going to be a meaningful season of waiting and preparing, both as individuals and as a congregation. You know, for years, Advent for me was less of a season of preparing and waiting for Jesus to come as it was counting down the days to the end of the semester, until the last exam had been taken, until the last paper had been written, waiting for this stress to be gone, waiting for rest. Then, and only then, did I have the emotional and mental capacity to think about Jesus coming. But I have to confess to you that even in the years that I haven't been a student, my Advents are mostly focused on Jesus' first coming. I spend way more time thinking about Jesus coming as a baby at Christmas than I do on Jesus coming again and his second advent. I think all of us know on some level that Advent is about preparing for both of Jesus' coming, right? We say each week in the Apostles' Creed that we believe he'll come again to judge the living and the dead. And each week in the communion liturgy, we say, remembering therefore his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. We await his coming in glory. But I wonder if the truth actually is that we sort of avoid his coming in glory. We avoid thinking about it. We just avoid it altogether. Do we really await his coming in glory? Well, I think we avoid it because, one, we don't really know how to think about it and what to make of it. Right? We avoid thinking about it because, especially the past couple of hundred years, the false teaching about the rapture has taken over American theology. By the way, there won't be a rapture and nobody will be left behind. Jesus isn't coming to take anyone away. Jesus is coming to return to earth and to fully establish the kingdom of God here on this earth. But the truth is, this thing about the rapture that we've heard makes us think we're going to go away somewhere. And so Jesus isn't actually coming, we're going, and so we don't really know how to think about it. But the truth is that we hear Jesus talk about himself coming again over and over in the Gospels. We read about it over and over again in Paul's letters because it's foundational to who Jesus is, and it's the foundational truth that the early church rested its hope upon. But I think there might be another reason we avoid thinking about Jesus' second coming. Perhaps we avoid thinking about it because the details are unknown. And a lot of us just don't necessarily like things that are uncertain because it can be unsettling, maybe even a little bit scary. And maybe one more reason we avoid thinking about Jesus coming again instead of awaiting it is that we might think it doesn't apply to us. Unlike the early church and the Apostle Paul, we don't think that Jesus will come again in our lifetimes. They were certain that he would, but we've got 2,000 years of history behind us where Jesus hasn't returned yet. And so maybe we don't feel like it's imminent, and we wonder maybe if Jesus' second coming even applies to us. Well, in today's gospel lesson, we get to hear Jesus teaching his followers some important truths about that in-between time, the same in-between time that we are living in, that in-between time between his ascension and when he will come again. And he's teaching them some important truths about how they are to live in light of what he will do in the future. And the will do part is certain, even if we don't know when it is. But what he will do. Really quick, before we jump in, I just want to remind us that parables aren't intended to be strict allegories. This doesn't always equal this, and this doesn't always equal this. Instead, parables are meant to give us a glimpse of an idea or a glimpse of a way of living that is otherwise difficult to describe. And that's what Jesus is doing here. In this parable, he's teaching his followers, including us, how we are to live as we await his return. We know this parable as the parable of the talents, and there are places where I cringe on the inside as I read it because I think, what is Jesus trying to say here? This doesn't sound like the heart of Jesus that I know. But the gist is that the master entrusted three servants with massively large amounts of money while he was away. The first two were creative and wise and very fruitful with what the master had entrusted them with. But then there's that third servant. And I think this is where we get a bit tripped up, because the third servant wasn't a bad man. Right? He didn't squander the money. He didn't use it for his own benefit. He just didn't take any chances. He played it safe. But we completely pass over why. It was because of fear. His actions were driven by fear. And it got me to thinking about how we let fear keep us from living as faithfully as we can. How we let fear cause us to keep from trusting God. How we let fear paralyze us sometimes. How we let fear cause us to bury the talents that God has given us. Instead of living in hope and trust, we bury the treasures that God has given us. We bury too much time. We bury too much love. We bury too much goodness. We bury too much forgiveness. We bury whatever it is because we're afraid of losing it. We're afraid of disappointment, disappointing ourselves, disappointing others. We're afraid of shame. We're afraid of scarcity. We are afraid. And far too often, we let fear drive our actions. Listen to this quote by newspaper columnist Irma Bombeck. She writes, "When I stand before God at the end of my life, I would hope that I would not have a single bit of talent left and could say, 'I've used everything you gave me. I've used everything you gave me. God, I've loved you with my whole heart. God, I've loved you with my whole mind, with my whole body, with all of my strength. Not just partial amounts and not just little bits here and there. But God, we have used everything that you've given us. We've used all of who we are to love you and to love others.'" Jesus isn't teaching his followers about the future here. He's teaching them and us how we are to live here and now. And we're to live always with the end in mind. Not because we're afraid of the end, but so that we can be prepared for it. We are called to live prepared and faithful lives now. Because the truth is, brothers and sisters, none of us are promised another day. None of us. We can't wait until we die or we're on our deathbed to tell somebody that we love them or that we're sorry. We can't wait until our death gets closer, until we start living, until we start serving God with all of who we are. We are called to live as though the end is now, so that when the end does come, we are fully and completely prepared. Because none of us is promised another day. And none of us knows when Jesus will return. And I think that's the point, right? Because if we knew, we would procrastinate. We'd wait until it got closer, like someone cramming for an exam the night before, instead of preparing for it in the days and weeks ahead of time. Jesus calls his followers, Jesus calls us, to live a life of constant and faithful preparedness, to live out this active form of waiting. Like those first two servants, we're called to roll up our sleeves and get to work. Get to work loving God and our neighbors with all of who we are and all that we have. We're to roll up our sleeves, using God's gifts to bring heaven a little bit more to earth. We need to roll up our sleeves, using God's gifts in ways that amplify and multiply love and hope, peace and goodness in the world, in ways that bring healing, in ways that bring justice, in ways that bring hope. So whether in our death or when Jesus comes again, whichever comes first, may we not be caught off guard. And may we not be afraid. May we live our lives in hope and trust, not fear, so that we will be able to say, God, I used everything you gave me. Amen.